Help and encouragement for parents from the Proverbs, right around the corner.
As parents, it's so important, if we are going to initiate people into their own pathway in life, if we're going to send them off and create a voice that will echo in their minds long after we're gone, then it better not be, you know, yo-ho, yo-ho, it's a pirate's life for me. It better be something that's going to be like, well, that'll really stick with them. That will really seem good. I don't want, you know, I'm not going to help anybody if every time they think of me, they think of clean your room. Every time they think of me, they think of don't do this or don't do that. There are more important things.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Parenting is without a doubt one of life's most challenging roles, and there's no shortage of ideas out there on how to go about it. But one of the best places to turn for wisdom on the subject is the Proverbs. And that's where we're headed today on The Balanced Word. Pastor Dave Rolfe is in a series we've titled Smarter Living. Dave is pointing out some of the topics raised in the Proverbs. And today's is parenting. I think you'll get a lot out of it.
Really a lot of this, and I think a lot of the ideas that people have toward parenting is connected not as much to what the Bible says as what psychology has determined over the end of the 19th century and into the 20th century. And that's something called behaviorism. Behaviorism dominated psychology really starting in the late 1800s with Ivan Pavlov, the brilliant Russian physician and researcher who, using dogs, came up with the idea that if you do this, positive feedback and negative feedback combined, you can control the behavior of an animal. And therefore, Pavlov said that, you know, in the same way, we can do that with people. Later on, who popularized it, especially in the U.S., was B.F. Skinner, who was a brilliant Harvard psychologist and psychology professor, who created what he called radical behaviorism, was the idea that actually it's only what happens to you that turns you into who you are. Now, if you've been with us the last few weeks, we've talked about how God says that we have an opportunity to respond to what happens to us. Behaviorism teaches that people are like animals. And one thing that Pavlov and Skinner had in common is that they basically worked with animals and then drew conclusions that created what we know as modern psychology, all from this theory of behaviorism that people are like animals. So if people aren't like animals, then there's a problem there. The problem is even Christians who teach would take a passage like this and say, so, if you raise your kids correctly, they will become Christians. There are people whose theories were so, and a lot of the Christian psychologists who were so indoctrinated in behaviorism that they end up basically repeating these same tenets, and whether then they'll say, like, it's, there was a program called Growing Kids God's Way that was like, it, and they made the statement, the Ezos who created that system, that if you stay in their program and you do what they tell you to do, guaranteed your kids will be Christians. I mean, you know that that conflicts with what the Bible teaches, that everyone has a responsibility to respond for themselves, and yet we are so indoctrinated in behaviorism that we want to believe that if we are good parents, we will have good kids. It's automatic. It's natural behavior. And that's why we become so disappointed, because when a kid goes bad, we feel like, what did I do? This is all my fault. And so parents have beat themselves up for decades because they feel like it must be my fault that my kid is a mess. And at the same time, those whose kids turn out really well, those parents become puffed up and arrogant, and they're like, see, you just, if you did it my way, your kid would be like my kid. Now, looking at this verse here, Proverbs 22:6, let me explain it to you just a little bit other than the behaviorist thing, train up a child. The Hebrew there, it doesn't really mean like you raise a child the way you raise cattle. The word that's translated train up a child is a word that simply means initiate them. Or actually, in the rest of the Old Testament, this word is translated dedicate. Wherever this word is used, other than right here, it's at the occasion of the dedication of the temple or the dedication of the restoration of the temple or things like that. So it is not saying that you are the one who creates this person that's your child. It's saying you initiate them. You have an influence and you dedicate them and send them off. Now, where it says in the way he should go, again, we've extrapolated that to mean you teach them how they ought to live and then they're going to live that way. But the Hebrew there that's translated in the way he should go, it would be more accurately translated in their way or in their own way. Solomon is not proposing that there is a right way for every person to be raised. If you have multiple children, you know how this works. Something that works with one kid absolutely does not work with the other kid. And they start figuring it out too. The tricky part about parenting is that no two kids are alike. God makes children really unique. And each one of them has their own way, their own path that they're going to have to find in order to ultimately become who God created them to be and who they're supposed to be. And so if you approach, you know, child rearing, just like education, if you approach it as being there's one right way of doing it, you're setting yourself up for failure. What Solomon is saying here is you need to initiate children as parents. You need to initiate them in their own way, in the ideal path for them. It means you need to know them. You need to have insight. You need to pray for them, have wisdom, so that you'll figure out how to send them off on the path that is ultimately their path, the path that God has for them. God doesn't create robots. He didn't want robots, or he could have had a much easier life for himself. Instead, he creates individuals, people that are uniquely human. And so Solomon's saying, initiate them in their own way. And then when he is old, it's not talking about when he's 30. When he is old, the word there means when he's really old. I'm not even going to say how old really old is, but I'm there or getting there. But, and then the idea that he will not depart from it, it's not determining what they're going to do. Again, we're not behaviorists. You can't do this and therefore they have to do that. Not depart from it. The Hebrew words there actually means they won't be able to turn it off or they won't be able to shut it up. It's that if you have commissioned them, sent them off in the right way, it'll always be there. Your voice will always be echoing in their head. It doesn't mean they're going to respond to it. Because if you do it right, and then they were automatically going to turn out right, then whatever happened with Adam and Eve, who had the perfect father, God the Father, and he did everything right, and they chose to rebel against him, who do you think you are? Do you think you're a better parent than God is? Do you think if you read the right books and go to the right seminars and do everything correctly that you can whip those kids into shape in a way that God wouldn't himself? The whole idea here is you have a privilege to dedicate someone to this amazing gift of life. And when you do that and help them to find their way, help them to discover their path that God has for them, whatever they do, the memory of what they said, what you said to them, is always going to be with them. You will leave that impression on them. Solomon understood this because his dad, David, the biggest hero in the Bible other than Jesus himself, by far, King David, the man after God's own heart. Can you imagine Solomon now? Solomon came along late in David's life. David had been a pretty bad father for most of his kids. But now he has a chance with Bathsheba, who, you know, he had had an affair with her, and they lost the child after that. And then he repented, and then he got Solomon. And so that's like a special kid. David is in his 70s when Solomon's born. So you know he had special time with his dad. Mostly all of the wars had kind of been fought, and here's Solomon. And so he has an opportunity to spend a short time with his dad. When David died, Solomon was probably between 12 to 14 years of age and took over. So he had the best of his dad. But imagine bragging about my dad is David. And you think that's not a big deal? David? The guy that wrote the Psalms? I mean, that's a huge deal. If you don't think it's a big deal, when you read the New Testament, as you get to the last page, you have Jesus bragging about being the root and offspring of David. It's like, Solomon's like, my dad, Jesus brags about being related to him. So what a privilege to be connected to him. And then when you listen to what he has to say, it's like, wow, that's, I think I can relate to that. I think I can probably be as good of a father as David was. I think, and at the same time, to learn and to observe and witness what he did. I think I can be a better mom than Bathsheba was. I can, you know, it puts us on the level of our privilege is to dedicate our kids and to send them off to find their way. We can give them guidance along the way, and our voice will always be with them. Now, turn over to Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to look at the education, if you will, that David gave to Solomon, as Solomon talks about it. Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon is repeating and reminding, here's what my dad told me. Here's what I remember as a young boy getting from my father David. Beginning with verse 1, he says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding.'" And he goes on to say all that it will do when you do that, and what it will, how it will enrich your life. And down in verse 13, "Take firm hold of instruction. Don't let go. Keep her, for she is your life." Now, Solomon is rehearsing and remembering the day when David told him, probably repeatedly, "Hey, whatever you get, you're going to have a lot of experiences in life. You're going to have a lot of opportunities, but make sure that you get wisdom. That's the most important thing. That's the primary thing." And what I see here that David did right for Solomon, and it really worked out well for Solomon, because later when God came to Solomon and said, "I love your dad so much that I'm going to give you one wish. What do you want?" And right when God said that, Solomon heard the voice of his dad, who was long gone, "Get wisdom, get wisdom." And Solomon said, "I'll take wisdom." And God said, "That's the perfect answer. And because you get that, I'm going to give you everything else you could have asked for. I'm going to make you rich and powerful and have you be at peace and all." It came from being programmed with the voice of his dad saying, "Here's the principal thing, it's wisdom." Now, what I see from this, and something that we can certainly learn as we try to pass on any kind of advice to our kids, grandkids, or really anyone else who looks to us as a parental figure, make sure that you let them know what really matters. Make sure that we communicate that everything is not of equal importance. There are a lot of things that matter, but there are certain things that matter more than anything else. And because David did that, now again, it might be different for different people. David understood that Solomon was going to be a builder of the temple of God. So he knew what kind of wisdom that would take. He also understood that Solomon, as a little kid, was going to become the king of Israel, and he had other brothers who were really bad guys who would try to take the throne from him. And so he knew, hey, you're going to need a lot of wisdom. I am kind of leaving you set up in one way, but in a mess in another way. Man, you need to get wisdom. So for each person, the main priority might be different. Maybe for someone else, it would be something other than wisdom. I don't know. But how does this affect us? How does this impact us? I think we need to at least be thinking in terms of, let's just not try to communicate to others like we're trying to give them a drink out of a fire hose. Don't just be constantly telling you need this and this and this, and here's your politics, and here's your, you know, this is what you need to do business-wise, and this is what you need. They can't soak all that in. But what an amazing gift if you were able to communicate to your kids, your grandkids, your friends, and tell them, you know what? Here's the deal. Here is the main thing. If you get this, then you'll have everything. Now, there were other things that were very important. It's interesting that David didn't say to Solomon, what you need is to put the word of God first. David understood the value of the word of God. Read Psalm 119 and you get that. But he understood that in Solomon's path, although he would end up getting and having a great appreciation for God's word as well, but at the same time, the main thing for him was going to be wisdom. Have you ever thought about if you have kids or you have grandkids, or if you will someday, and you could tell them one thing that they would really remember and take to heart, what would it be? And I sometimes ask people, why don't you write down what three things that you would want to say at the end of your life? What would you want people to say at your funeral when you die about you? What is it that you would tell somebody, look, this is the bottom line. This is my theme. This is what matters to me. And I think we would all perhaps come up with different things, especially after you get by the trite things that you think you're supposed to say, and really get down to, no, in reality, here's what I would want you to know. If you had a chance to say your last words to someone, what would it be? What would you want to finally say? Because here's the thing. You say a lot of things, so do I. I think, man, everything I say, I want people to remember, but they won't. So what do we emphasize and say, here is what's the greatest priority? And I think it's really a good exercise for us to work through that process a little bit. Because for David, it wasn't something that he just threw off there flippantly. And yet it became the core and the center of Solomon's life. Now you look at Solomon's life and go, David should have told him, instead of getting wisdom, hey, stay away from all the ladies, because that's going to get you in trouble. But no, that wasn't it. The main thing, the important thing, the highest priority for him was get wisdom. Go for wisdom. That's it. And so if I don't know what my priorities are, then I just treat everything like it's a priority. Then I end up communicating to kids that basically a basic principle is do everything that I tell you to do. Because I'm your dad, that's why. Where are you supposed to go with that? One of the biggest benefits that we need in life to figure out somehow is that some things are more important than other things, and how we understand that. You know if you're old, because as you get old, you look back and you realize there are some things that I used to think were really important. I just don't think they're that important anymore. In the light of time, over experience, man, I sometimes think, I would love to have gone back and done my life knowing what I know now about what matters and what doesn't. But you don't get that chance. But you do get that chance to take what you have learned from experience and pass it on to somebody else in a way that it stays with them. In a way that when they think of you, they think of that. I would encourage you to just be thinking in terms of, okay, in light of my life experience, what really mattered in the final analysis? Another way to think of it is, if you could write a note with one sentence on it and have it sent through a time machine back to you when you were like 14 years old, what one thing would you tell yourself? And as you think like that, you begin to discover there are some things that matter more than others. There are some things that may seem insignificant, but they can be incredibly significant. And as parents, it's so important, if we are going to initiate people into their own pathway in life, if we're going to send them off and create a voice that will echo in their minds long after we're gone, then it better not be, you know, yo-ho, yo-ho, it's a pirate's life for me. It better be something that's going to be like, wow, that'll really stick with them. That will really seem good. I don't want, you know, I'm not going to help anybody if every time they think of me, they think of clean your room. Every time they think of me, they think of don't do this or don't do that. There are more important things. Not that those things don't matter, but they're important things. And so as a parent, when we discover real priorities and communicate to those we influence, son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, my young friend, here's what matters most. Take it from somebody who's lived some life. I wish I had valued this the way I do now. I wish I had spent more time with family and less time at work. I wish I had made a few really good friends. I wish I had, you know, been more selective about, you know, the people that I associated with. I wish I had been slower to discover what I want to invest my life in as a career. Whatever it is, but the exercise of listing it and then boiling it down gives you something that you can go, if my kids could only remember one thing, what do I want them to remember when they think about me?
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolf is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. With a few words about disciplining our kids, here again is Pastor Dave.
Understanding what the Bible says about individuals is you have this amazing responsibility that you can choose how you are going to respond to what happens. And that will end up determining whether things go well for you or whether they don't. So whatever we do for discipline, and it's, again, the Bible really doesn't say that much about how to do it, but you understand, at least David with Solomon, he's going, there are some things you need to be warned about because actions have consequences. And I think to be a good parent, you certainly have to do that. You certainly need to do that. Will it absolutely determine someone's behavior? No, they're not animals. You have to figure out, again, what their way is, who they are, how you can motivate them.
Pastor Dave Rolfe has much more to say about parenting, and we'll save that for next time. We'll see you then for The Balanced Word, a presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my